Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and the words that I speak to people be pleasing to you and uplift people's hearts by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. The topic that I would like to speak to you is on coronavirus, how Christians must respond to COVID-19. Coronavirus, how Christians must respond to COVID-19. Never before in my lifetime have I witnessed the whole world suffering from one pandemic, which is COVID-19. Now, I would like to explain to you what is COVID-19 and then bring application from the scripture. COVID-19 is actually an abbreviation, which means C-O-CO stands for Corona. Corona is actually a Latin word, which in English means crown. Because the structure of the virus is in the form of a crown, this virus is called Corona. So CO stands for Corona, VI stands for virus, and D stands for disease, and 19 stands for 2019. Hence, the World Health Organization gave the abbreviation COVID-19, coronavirus disease 2019. Among the family of coronaviruses is actually a large group of viruses, and some of them are SARS, which is severe acute respiratory syndrome, which is first identified in China in 2003. And then there is MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which is first identified in Saudi Arabia in 2012. And then now, currently, we are facing COVID-19, which is also a part of coronaviruses. This COVID-19 is a new disease which was discovered in 2019 and has not been previously identified in human beings. The first case of COVID-19 was reported in a city called Wuhan from China on December 31st, 2019. This virus seems to have emerged from an animal source. People suppose that this virus seems to have emerged from animal source and began spreading from person to person. So far, this virus has affected 185 countries. Our world has 195 countries. Just imagine, one person contracted this virus, one city, Wuhan from China, and today 185 countries are so far suffering from this epidemic disease. And many countries are shut down completely. The shopping malls are closed, schools are closed, movie theaters are closed, and a lot of public gatherings are closed because of the fear of COVID-19. The common symptoms of COVID-19 are this. These include fever, cough, persistent pain or pressure in the chest, and difficulty in breathing. While most cases are mild, some cases are severe and leads to death. These symptoms appear on the surface not immediately. This is a big problem and stress to people because the symptoms do not appear on the surface immediately. It takes between 2 and 14 days with an average of 5 days. So in the meantime, this person who has contracted this virus could spread the virus to a lot of people before the symptoms comes on the surface. This infection typically spreads from one person to another through respiratory droplets produced during coughing and sneezing. Now, here is an interesting fact that you and I have to know. A single cough can produce up to 3,000 droplets. And we have no idea how many virus particles would be in these droplets. And it is basically passed through coughing and sneezing. There is currently, unfortunately, no vaccine or specific antiviral treatment for COVID-19. I was checking actually the facts on the internet on the reliable source till March 21, 2020, that is today, more than 270,000 people affected globally and more than 11,000 people died. And let me tell you, this number is increasing every day in thousands. We have no idea how the coming week will be. There may be many infected people who might not have gone for diagnosis. So these are just on the official records. But there are many undiagnosed cases about which we have no understanding. Why people are afraid of coronaviruses? Why are they so petrified by this virus? It is because of physical pain. It is because people are isolated when they contract this virus. And there is no emotional encouragement to people. They are isolated, they suffer from physical pain, and in some cases, people die. This disease, which is why it is causing fear all over the world, this disease is extremely infectious and contagious. Very infectious and contagious. So now the question to us is, how Christians must respond to COVID-19? How we as believers of God should respond biblically to this pandemic disease? Should our response be different from how non-Christians respond? Or do we respond similarly like any other person of the world? I would like to present to you 9 responses about how we need to be responding to this epidemic disease. So please pay careful attention as we go further and listen biblically how, as we believers, we Christians, should be different in our response to this COVID-19. My first response that I would like to present to you is this: no, the whole creation is in pain because of original sin. Response 1. No, the whole creation is in pain because of original sin. Romans chapter 8 verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Romans 8:22. "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, we see how Adam and Eve sinned and rebelled against God. And because of their sin against God, the whole creation was cursed. And one of the things that we in this fallen world would face is natural disasters like earthquake, flood, famine, and even plagues like coronaviruses. We are living in a fallen world tainted with sin and suffering. So don't expect heaven on earth. Don't expect everything will be going well and there will be problem-free life in this fallen world. There is no such thing. The Bible clearly proclaims that the whole creation is groaning like in the pains of childbirth. Right from the ages until now, the creation is groaning and going through pain because of evil and suffering. Tim Keller, one of the wonderful preachers of our time, this is what he says: "The creation is in bondage to decay, according to Romans 8:21. It is caught in a continuous cycle of death and decomposition. Everything in nature wears down and dies. And so nature is a realm of pain and suffering. It has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth." Romans 8:22. There is relentless pain that comes from first to last as things decay in this creation. Observe what he says. In this creation, in this present world, now on the planet Earth, no experience is untainted by pain. We are not free from pain. We are not free from evil. We are not free from suffering in this present world and creation. This is the world in which we are living, and we have to face this suffering and pain in this fallen world. Therefore, we are victims of pain in this fallen world, awaiting the redemption of our bodies. It is not just the whole creation is in pain. As we are part of this fallen world, as we are living in this planet Earth, we also will be suffering pain. Yes, the Lord Jesus died on the cross. Yes, he paid the price for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, he rose from the dead. But only at his second coming, the whole creation will be renewed. There will be new earth and new heavens. And until then, the whole creation will be groaning in pain. And currently, presently, you and I, as believers too, would experience pain as we live in this fallen world. We are not free from this pain. And that's exactly what Romans 8, 23 to 25 says. If you continue reading the verses after verse 22 of Romans chapter 8, and this is what 23 to 25 verses say. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we believers, we Christians, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Observe this phrase, the redemption of our bodies. The bodies that we now carry are weak and fragile and prone to sin, prone to suffering. And we believers are waiting for the redemption of our bodies, those glorified bodies we do not yet have, but we are eagerly waiting for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. What is the hope? That through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope is that one day we all will receive the redemption of our weak, fragile bodies. And that will be turned into glorified bodies. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we are living in this fallen world, tainted with evil and suffering, as we ourselves also experience pain, and as we are struggling with these weak and fragile bodies, and as we are eagerly waiting for the redemption of our bodies, I encourage you, be patient. Cling on to the hope that the Lord Jesus is coming soon, and he will give us the new creation. And he will give us the new glorified bodies. And until then, be patient. Have hope. Do not lose your heart. Yes, we do pray for God's help. We are not free from pain completely as long as we live in this fallen world. Let's have hope. Let's not lose our heart. This is my first response, that as Christians, we should be responding to this pandemic that is around the globe. The second response is this. The second response is this. Don't panic. Don't give yourselves to fear. Now here is a beautiful scripture that is written in Psalm 46 from verse 1 to 3. Psalm 46 from verse 1 to 3. This is one of my comforting, encouraging, uplifting verses in the Bible. And this is what the scripture says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, if this is what God is, that he is our refuge, that he is our strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore, so, hence, you see what the psalmist says here. We will not fear. We will not fear, though the earth gives way, which is, though the earthquake comes, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. No matter what happens, no matter what disaster would take place on the planet Earth, the psalmist says, we will not fear. If we contextualize this verse in our own present situation, this is what can be said. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though coronavirus breaks out, spreading rapidly and coming closer to our doors. We are not going to be shaken in our hearts. Why we need not fear? Because the God of the heavens and the earth is our refuge. Because the maker of the whole creation is our strength. We are not Christless. We are not hopeless. We are not helpless. We are not godless. Let us not live like those who are Christless, hopeless, helpless, and godless. We have Christ. We have hope. We have help. And God of the heavens and the earth, the one who commanded and the whole creation came into existence, that living God, that one and the only true God, that maker of the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, is with us. We are not orphans and godless and helpless. May I bring your attention to this fact? It is said that more than 300 times the scripture says, do not fear. Do not fear. Don't panic. Don't panic. Because God is there for us. God is there with us. God is there in us. We have hope. You know, one of the great inspiring women of our time is Joni Erickson Tada. She is author, speaker, singer, painter. And she does all things from her wheelchair. She is not a healthy person like many of us. On July 30th, 1967, when Joni was just 17 years old, a young, bright girl, she went with her sister Kathy to a beach and suffered a diving accident that made her quadriplegic. Quadriplegic is a paralytic state, permanently unable to move or feel anything in your arms or legs. She is virtually from neck to toe paralytic, unable to move. Not only that, she suffered from 3-stage breast cancer. But in all this pain and agony and suffering, she did not lose her hope. She did not panic. Maybe she has given to some moment of panic, but she found strength in the God of the heavens and the earth. So during this COVID-19 crisis, this is what she wrote. And you know what she said? Please listen to this carefully. This old woman's words coming out of wheelchair. I am an individual at great risk to this coronavirus. I am an aging quadriplegic. By the way, her age now is 70 years. I am an aging quadriplegic with very fragile lungs and immune system that can easily be compromised. But I bolster my confidence that the world belongs to Almighty God. So Christians can be confident in His plan and purposes. There is absolutely no reason to be caught up in the panic or to be caught up in the blame. Listen to what she says. There is absolutely no reason to be caught up in panic or to be caught up in the blame. Because we have confidence in God Almighty, whose plan and purposes prevail. What a great encouragement this dying old woman is giving from wheelchair. She is weak, but her words are very strong. And this is what we need to get encouraged, is that we don't have to panic. Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. What a beautiful encouragement that we see in Proverbs 28 verse 1. The righteous are bold as a lion. So let us not live as sheep cringing with fear. Let us live as lions, because we are the children of the living God. We are the people of the maker of the heavens and the earth. We need not give ourselves to fear. And let not fear of COVID-19 dominate our minds. You know, after the invention of atomic bomb, the first atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima on August 6, 1945. This was a great pain that the world was going through when the first atomic bomb was invented and dropped. And during this time, a lot of people were going through fear what would happen to the world because of this atomic bomb. So in 1948, C.S. Lewis wrote an essay. The great Cambridge scholar wrote this essay on living in an atomic age. And this was the title of his essay, on living in an atomic age. And this is what he talks about during the threat of nuclear war. When the majority of the people were in fear, this is what he said. And I think this is what we need to heed to during this time of crisis. C.S. Lewis says, this is the first point to be made. And the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. He's encouraging the people of his time that the first thing that you and I have to do is to calm ourselves. Don't be anxious. Don't fear. Pull yourselves together. Be at peace. And then he further continues. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, or put in these words, if we are all going to be destroyed by this coronavirus, let that coronavirus, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Let us not be paralyzed in our everyday life thinking about what would happen to us. What he's saying is that when coronavirus strikes us, and if we have to face it, let that bomb find us doing sensible and human things. What are those things? C.S. Lewis says, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint, and a game of darts. Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs, or in our context, coronavirus. Let us be doing what we usually do and not be cringe with fear. He says that they may break our bodies. Atomic bomb may break our bodies. Coronavirus may break our bodies. But they need not dominate our minds. They may break our bodies, but they need not dominate our minds. I would like to ask you, my dear people, what is dominating your mind? What is taking place in your mind? Are you letting the fear of COVID-19 dominate your mind and you're paralyzed in doing sensible, simple things, panicking what would happen to you? You know, you need not be. You need to trust in the Lord, and we need to keep doing what we are supposed to do. Don't just keep hearing the news about coronavirus. Do you hear these people? Don't just keep hearing the news about coronavirus. Meditate on the word of God. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Expose yourself to encouraging words in the scripture. The more you listen to the news of coronavirus and the less you listen to God's voice in the scripture, the more you will panic. What you need is not the worst news about coronavirus. What you need is words of encouragement from the Holy Scripture. Meditate on the Word of God. Here is my question to you. What do unbelievers see in us during this time? Do they see that? What are these Christians? What are these people? They are in perfect peace and joy despite what is happening. Are we witnessing peace and courage to the lost around us? Or are we also panicking like them? Before I jump to the next response, I would like to encourage you with what Jesus said to his disciples. These words were told by Jesus to his own disciples. Listen to what he said. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body. Maybe I can put it like this. And do not fear those who kill the body like coronavirus. Jesus said, but cannot kill the soul. Coronavirus can kill the body. It cannot kill the soul. Jesus said, rather, fear him. Fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What we need to fear is not this pandemic, epidemic disease. What we need to fear is the God of the heavens and the earth. So the second response is, don't panic. Now let us see the third response. Response three, trust in God's sovereignty. Trust in God's sovereignty. Psalm chapter 112, 6 and 7 verses says, Psalm 112, 6 and 7 verses say this, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. Now you see what it says. He is not afraid of bad news. The righteous, God's people, are not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm. Why? How is it that this person is not afraid of bad news? How is it that this heart is firm? The Bible says, trusting in the Lord. Because this man, this woman trusts in the Lord. He is not afraid of bad news, though the news may be bad. And his heart is firm because his heart is trusting in the Lord. Now, what is God's sovereignty? What is the meaning of God's sovereignty? People may speak about it without knowing it. So I would like to explain what is the sovereignty of God. Now, this is what God's sovereignty means. God is in authority over all things, and he is in control of all things. When we speak about the sovereignty of God, we are telling that he is in authority. Not the nations, not the devil, not the people, not the nature. It is God who is in authority over all things, and he is in control of all things. There is nothing that doesn't fall under his authority, and there is nothing that is out of his control. Do you hear this? There is nothing which is not falling under his authority, and there is nothing that is out of his control. Coronavirus is not out of his authority. Coronavirus is not out of his control. God is seated on the throne. God is in authority. God is in control. We see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 6. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. You see what it says? God is the ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations. And in his hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand God. What the scripture says in one word is this: God is in authority. It is not the nations, it is not sickness, it is not the nature. It is God who is in authority. And also we see in Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. And he is before all things. The Lord Jesus Christ is before all things. And in him all things hold together. It is in Jesus all things hold together. Jesus is the sustainer of the whole world, of the whole creation, and in him all things hold together. In one word, what this verse is saying is that Christ is in control. Things are not out of God's control. No matter how worse the situation may look, people, listen to this. God is seated on the throne. He has authority over all his creation. Nothing is out of his control. None can prevail against him. God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, is sovereign. He is in authority and he is in control. The Bible reveals two things about the activities of God pertaining to his sovereignty. One is that God may either cause plagues. God may either cause plagues. Where do we see that in the Bible? We see this in the case of Egypt. How God caused 10 plagues to come upon Egyptians in order to set the Israelites free from the bondage of Egypt. Who caused the plagues in Egypt? It is God. God may either cause plagues or God may allow plagues. Where do we see God not causing it, but he allowing the plague? We see this in the context of Job. How Satan wanted to test Job and how he brought plague upon his entire body. God did not cause it, but without God's permission, without God's allowance, this didn't happen. What we need to understand is that God either causes plagues or God permits plagues. And this plague could be from Satan's attack, or this plague could be man's failure. Ultimately, it is God who allows it. God is in control of it. Nothing happens outside of God's divine cause or consent. Make a note of this. Nothing happens outside of God's divine cause or consent. God is not weak. God is not impotent. God is not helpless. He is sovereign. Everything that happens in the world, God either caused it or God either permitted it. Without his consent, nothing happens. If he wills, if he determines, he can do anything. But we don't know why this coronavirus has come into this planet Earth. We cannot be sure what is the particular reason of it. We don't know the reason behind COVID-19. Whether this is God's judgment or whether God allowed Satan's attack or man's failure, we do not know exactly. But as Christians, we can relax, trust, and rest in the sovereignty of God, knowing that he is in authority and he is in control. That Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said it like this. Listen to what he said. Charles Spurgeon, when you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. When you go through pain and suffering, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. You can relax trusting in the sovereignty of God. This pillow, many people don't have it. But believers have this pillow of resting in the sovereignty of God. But at the same time, I encourage all the churches, all the believers, and we, Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship, like Daniel and Nehemiah, if you look at their prayers of penitence, as they repented and sought the face of the Lord because of the misery that came upon his people, like Daniel and Nehemiah, it is also good for us, although we don't know the exact reason, it is also good for us to confess the sin of our land, repent, and ask God's forgiveness and mercy and healing of our land, because God is sovereign. If this is his judgment, let us repent and seek the face of the Lord. We can rely, trust, and rest, trusting in God's sovereignty. That is the third response that we need to respond to this crisis. The fourth response is this. The fourth response that I would like to encourage is this. Be wise and careful during this crisis. Be wise and careful. Just because we don't have to panic, just because we trust in the sovereignty of God, it doesn't mean that we have to be unwise and reckless, careless in the way we conduct ourselves in this time of crisis. Now, here is my question. What is the difference between fear and concern? What is the difference between fear and concern? Now, this is what I would like to describe. Fear robs the joy and peace that you have in Christ and leads you to behave abnormally. Fear robs the joy and peace that you have in Christ and leads you to behave abnormally. Concern leads you to behave carefully while maintaining joy and peace in Christ. Concern leads you to behave carefully while maintaining joy and peace in Christ. So what I would like to encourage you all today is this. We need not panic. We need not cringe with fear. But we must be careful and not be reckless. I have a scripture to share with you from Proverbs chapter 22 verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 3. It is written here. The prudent sees danger and hides himself. The wise sees danger and hides himself. But the foolish go on and suffer for it. What great words of wisdom do we find in the Bible? On one side it says, trust in God's sovereignty. On the other side it says, see the danger and be careful. Don't be a fool. Don't be careless. Don't be reckless. So here are the dangers that we need to avoid as we live in this COVID-19 crisis. I would like to share with you some things we need to avoid. See the danger. Avoid it. Not be a fool and suffer for it. Now here are the dangers that we need to avoid. The first is this. Keep washing your hands for 20 seconds. Especially when you go out and touch things and come back home. Keep washing your hands. We keep on hearing this. Keep washing your hands. One of my friends says that trust in the Lord and keep washing your hands. Trust in the Lord and keep washing your hands. The second is this. Avoid touching your face, eyes, mouth, and nose with your fingers. It is said that the primary way we make ourselves sick is by touching our face with our infected fingers. So live as if you have no fingers. Live as if you have no hands. And don't dare to place your fingers constantly on your face, which may be a threat to you. Keep washing your hands. Don't touch your face. Thirdly, avoid touching common objects when you go out in public. It is better not to go out in public during this time of crisis. But if you happen to go out, avoid touching common objects. What are these things? Door handles, stair rails, bus poles, chairs. Be careful. And I also encourage you, it is better to avoid eating outside because we don't know what hygiene they are maintaining, with what fingers they are serving us, with what fingers they are preparing the food. It is better to avoid eating outside. The fourth danger that we need to avoid is this. Maintain social distance. I'm so sorry to say, but because this disease is highly infectious and contagious, we need to maintain social distance. But we don't have to become socially indifferent. But we need to maintain social distance, especially from people who are coughing and having cold. World Health Organization says that the best way to prevent illness is to avoid being exposed to this virus. This virus is thought to spread mainly from person to person. So it is better for us to avoid public gatherings and maintain social distance and quarantine ourselves to our homes so that we would not spread this disease. The fifth is, wear a good quality face mask, especially when you are facing people who are coughing and having cold. And guard yourself and wear a good quality face mask. And sixth is, disinfect surfaces you regularly use. Keep cleaning with Dettol or with some healthy substance. Keep cleaning the things that you regularly use. For example, dining table, kitchen counter, bathrooms, mobile phones, computer. Keep cleaning these things so that you would not be infected, because viruses could stay for a long time in these places. And it is good for us disinfecting surfaces that we regularly use. But here is what I say. Don't place your trust in these precautions. It is good that we need to take cautions. It is good that we need to avoid danger. It is good that we need to take precautions. But remember, our security is in Christ alone, not in these precautions. God is sovereign, but we have to be careful in human responsibility. That is the fourth response. And the fifth response is this. The fifth response is this. Preach the gospel to the hopeless. Preach the gospel to the hopeless. Now listen to this, my dear people of God. We have hope in the living God. We believed in the Lord Jesus who loved us and laid his life for us. And we have hope for the future too, that if we die, we have the hope of eternal life. But understand the state of unbelievers who are hopeless. They have no Christ. They have no forgiveness of sins. They have no hope of eternal life. And we as Christians have the responsibility to preach the gospel to the hopeless at this time of crisis. It is good to think about our safety. But let us not be preoccupied with our safety alone. Let us not lose sight of the hopeless state of unbelievers. You know, one of the incidences, a beautiful, encouraging incidences that I remember is from Acts 16. When Paul went to Philippi and preached the gospel, and when he cast out the demon from a demon-possessed woman, what happened to him? The Bible says that the business people, the owners of that woman who were making money, they were so angry because they lost the business when he cast out the demon. And what happened to Paul and Silas as a result of this? It says that the Bible in Acts chapter 16 verse 19 says that they were dragged into the marketplace before the rulers. What a public humiliation that these two men had to face. And then in verse 23 it says that these people inflicted Paul and Silas with many blows. They threw them into prison. They ordered the jailer to keep them safely. And then what happened later? They both were put into inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Imagine the physical pain, the public humiliation, and the emotional trauma these men have undergone. But despite all this pain that they had undergone, the scripture says in Acts 16 verse 25, about midnight, rather than living in fear, what would happen to them? Rather than living in anxiety, rather than being preoccupied with their safety, the Bible says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I believe that they were singing the gospel here. Why? Because later the jailer came and asked them, "How should I be saved?" And what happened to them when they were singing? The Bible says that suddenly a great earthquake came and struck the place, and all the prisoners were open to go out and flee. The Bible says that when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, what happened actually? The Bible says that, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Because if he had fled, this person's jailer would be executed. Paul had a great opportunity to escape, to think about his safety. What did he do here? He stayed there and preached the gospel to the jailer. Imagine if Paul, Silas had fled from that place. But because they stayed, the jailer asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And then Paul and Silas preached the gospel to him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." And as a result of this, his household came to the Lord, all were baptized, and they were born again. And this hopeless man was born in hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas were not preoccupied with their safety. They preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is good that we need to think about our safety, my dear believers. But this is the right time also for us to open our mouth, give out the tracts, and preach the gospel to the hopeless. But here again, I wanted to tell you about the gospel. The gospel here is not about Jesus saves you from coronavirus. This is not the gospel. Yes, of course, he is able to save if he chooses to. But that's not the gospel. That's not the good news. The gospel is not about Jesus saves you from coronavirus. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of people, which is much more dangerous than coronavirus. And it is only by repenting and believing in him that people receive forgiveness of sins and escape from eternal condemnation. C.H. Spurgeon, that prince of preacher, also faced a crisis similar to us during his time. And this is what he said: "If there ever be a time when the mind is sensitive, it is when death is abroad. It is when the fear of death conquers people. It is the right time when the mind is sensitive and is open to listen to the gospel." C.S. Spurgeon continues to say, "I recollect when first I came to London, how anxiously people listened to the gospel, for the cholera, like coronavirus now, cholera was raging terribly. There was little scoffing then. People were not mocking at the gospel then. All day, sometimes all night long, I went about from house to house and saw men and women dying, and oh, how glad they were to see my face. When many were afraid to enter their houses, lest they should catch the deadly disease, we who had no fear about such things found ourselves most gladly listened to when we spoke of Christ and of things divine. What a great opportunity C.H. Spurgeon grabbed to and preached the gospel of Christ when the fear of death was reigning people's hearts. My dear people of God, this is the right opportunity for us. Think about your safety. Yes, we need to be careful about safety when you evangelize, when we preach the gospel. But don't miss the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to the hopeless during this COVID-19 crisis. This should be our response. The fifth response, preach the gospel to the hopeless. And the sixth response is this. The sixth response, do good to the helpless. Do good to the helpless. I've spoken about that we need to maintain social distance. We need to be careful. But it doesn't mean that we should become socially indifferent. Just throwing away people on the roads and just thinking about the safety. This is not what I mean. The Bible tells in Galatians 6 verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. We need to be helpful to believers who are in big pain and suffering. And if there is a need for us to reach out to them, we should not hesitate. Imagine if there are no volunteers for the government because unbelievers are afraid about coming and helping the patients. Who should be going in the forefront? We Christians should be going and seeking to help them. Utmost carefulness and precautions should be taken care of. But we should be there to help the helpless if the time comes and not discard them totally. With careful precautions, we need to be helping the helpless. It is said that in the early church, in AD 249 to 262, Western civilization was devastated, ruined by one of the deadliest pandemics disease in its history. Though the exact cause of the plague is uncertain, the city of Rome in this third century is said to have lost an estimated 5,000 people a day at the height of the outbreak. 5,000 people a day at the time? Wow, that was too much. One eyewitness, whose name was Bishop Dionysius of Alexandria, wrote that although the plague did not discriminate between Christians and non-Christians, Christians also faced this plague. Non-Christians also faced this plague. Having noticed the difference between Christians and non-Christians responding to this plague, he wrote in this way. He said that, Dionysius, this is how unbelievers responded during this pandemic disease. At the first onset of the disease, when this disease came, they pushed the sufferers away and fled from their dearest, throwing them into the roads before they were dead, and treating unburied corpses as dirt, hoping thereby to avert the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. But do what they might, they found it difficult to escape. These unbelievers threw these people on the roads before they were dead. They escaped from the dearest one without caring for them because they were afraid that they would contract this disease. If this is how non-Christians responded, Dionysius explains about how Christians, how believers responded to this pandemic disease, to these helpless people during this time. This is what is written about how Christians responded. Most of our brothers, Christians, showed unbounded love and loyalty, never sparing themselves and thinking only of one another. Heedless of the danger, they took charge of the sick, attending to their every need and ministering to them in Christ. And with them departed this life serenely happy. In caring for the sick, some of them even died along with them. For they were infected by others with the disease, drawing on themselves the sickness of their neighbors and cheerfully accepting their pains. This was how Christians responded. Yes, we need to be careful. Yes, we need to maintain social distance. But if time comes for us to help others who are hopeless and helpless and suffering from this pain, We should not shy away and run away from them. We need to be people who should be doing good to others. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said that during the century, third century, when plagues deserted their nearest relatives in the plague, Christians stayed and ministered to the sick. We need to be doing good to the helpless. We should not just preach the gospel to the hopeless. We should also be willing to help the helpless. But we need to follow safety precautions. As I said in fifth response, when we help someone. The seventh response is this. The seventh response of Christians is this. We must pray for God's help. We must seek His face. If necessary, even fast and pray and seek the help of the living God. Why? Because the Bible encourages us to do so. James 5 verse 13 says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. We need to call upon God. We need to seek the help of God. We need to pray for healing. We need to pray for God's deliverance. Because the Bible encourages us. Instead of being anxious, Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, Philippians 4, 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now observe, this verse doesn't say that when you pray and not be anxious, the situations necessarily change. But what it says is that the peace of God, because of the anxiety which you are not at peace, the peace of God will surpass all understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to pray. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray for our near and dear ones. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our city. We need to pray for the world, for the nations. We need to call upon the Lord because He is our ultimate help. But in praying, this is what I say. Pray to the Lord that He would keep you from suffering. Pray to the Lord that He would keep you from suffering. But if you have to suffer, pray to the Lord that He would deliver you from suffering. But if you are not delivered from this suffering, pray to the Lord that He would give you the grace to go through this suffering. Prayer doesn't mean that everything happens. But great things may happen when we call upon the Lord and pray to the Lord. So the seventh response is that we Christians should be praying men, praying women at this time of crisis, not being caught up by the fear and anxiety, not looking for some entertainment in the world, for some relief in the world, but we need to be praying and seeking the help of the Lord Almighty. And finally, the eighth response is this. The eighth response of Christians should be this. Be ready to die anytime. Be ready to die anytime. Now I said about C.S. Lewis when he wrote an essay, when people were afraid of nuclear war because of the invention of atomic bomb. And this is what C.S. Lewis said, a very needed words even to us today. C.S. Lewis said, believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. It's not that we don't die if we don't have coronavirus. Thousands of people are dying every day, even without coronavirus. So don't think that death only comes through coronavirus. We are already sentenced to death. Every living should die on planet Earth. And C.S. Lewis says, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. Death is inevitable. Death is inescapable. And we as believers and Christians should be ready to die anytime and not be afraid to face deaths. It's very strange that we people believe in heaven, but we don't want to go to heaven dying here. But we need to be willing to die, be willing to face death if God allows us to die. And we should with gladness embrace death and enter into the presence of God. James chapter 4 verse 14 says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. What is our life? It is like a vapor. It is like a bubble. It is like a fog and mist. Our life on earth is short. We are not going to live here forever. It appears for a little time and then vanishes. This is what life is all about. Life is full of troubles. Life is short. But yet we have hope in the living God. And these are the words of life uttered by Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11 verse 25 and 26. Listen to this. When Lazarus died, what he spoke. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. Do you hear these words? Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then he poses a question here. Do you believe this, people? Do you really believe that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins? Do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you really believe in the reality of heaven, of eternal kingdom of God and eternal life that people have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really believe this? Then if we really believe, then why are we afraid of dying? Why are we afraid of embracing death? Why are we afraid to die here and go to heaven? We should be one of the happiest. In fact, I should say that we should be the happiest people, hopeful people on planet Earth when it comes to face deaths. It is not fear that should be reigning our hearts and faces. It should be the joy and the smile of the Lord on our faces that we are going to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that all who would believe in him would have the hope of eternal life. I would like to bring again Charles Spurgeon before I close. During the 19th century, the first cholera pandemic, that is between 1817 to 1824, occurred in India, in Calcutta. And from there, it spread on to the rest of the world. And you know, the key symptoms of cholera at the time, and even today when people suffer from cholera, are diarrhea and dehydration. And because of this diarrhea and dehydration, cholera, millions of people died during that time. Millions of people. And this is what Charles Spurgeon says, how he and some of the people face this crisis during that time. It is a great encouragement to us as we face the crisis of COVID-19 today. This is what Charles Spurgeon writes. Listen to this carefully. In the year 1854, when I had scarcely been in London 12 months, the neighborhood in which I labored was visited by Asiatic cholera, and my congregation suffered from its inroads. Family after family summoned me to the bedside of the smitten, and almost every day I was called to visit the grave. Every day people were dying, and he kept on visiting the graves. And then he speaks about, I went to home and was soon called away again, that time to see a young woman. She also was in the last extremity. She was about to die. But it was a fair, fair sight. She was singing, though she knew she was dying, and talking to those round about her, telling her brothers and sisters to follow her to heaven, bidding goodbye to her father, and all the while smiling as if it had been her marriage day. She was happy and blessed. Spurgeon says, who is the man that does not fear to die? Who is the woman that does not fear to die? He says, I will tell you, the man that is a believer. Fear to die? Thank God, I do not. The cholera may come again next summer. I pray, God, it may not. But if cholera comes, it matters not to me. I will toil and visit the sick by night and by day until I drop, until I die. And if cholera takes me, sudden death is sudden glory to me. Sudden death is sudden glory to me. He knows the gospel. He knows Jesus. He knows Christ and Him crucified. He knows the hope there is in Christ, the hope of eternal life. My dear people, are you afraid of dying? Are we afraid of dying? Are we ready to face death anytime? Be it through coronavirus or through any other means. 1 Corinthians 15:54 to 57. Paul here speaks about death. 1 Corinthians 15:54 to 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers who have hope in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they have conquered death and they have eternal life. And this is what I would like to conclude. If you are an unbeliever listening to this message, if you are a nominal Christian listening to this message, I encourage you to repent of your sin, confess your sin, and put your faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that Jesus died for the sins of people and rose from the dead, and by repenting and believing in Him, there is the hope of eternal life. If you don't have this forgiveness, if you don't have this eternal life, I encourage you people, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only Savior of this perishing world, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. But if you are a believer, these are my words of encouragement. Don't place your security in anything else, but in Christ alone, the conqueror, the victor, the maker, the Lord, the God, the Redeemer, the Sovereign, the Ruler of the heavens and the earth. Look unto Him, cling to Him, because He alone is our refuge. In summary, these are the 8 responses that believers should respond to this COVID-19 crisis. Again, to remind you, response 1, know the whole creation is in pain because of original sin. Response 2, don't panic. Response 3, trust in God's sovereignty. Response 4, be wise and careful. Response 5, preach the gospel to the hopeless. Response 6, do good to the helpless. Response 7, pray for God's help. Response 8, be ready to die anytime. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are on the throne and You have not left Your throne helpless what to do at this present crisis. You are the God who is in authority. You are the ruler of the heavens and the earth. And You are in control of all things. You are the sustainer of the whole universe. And You have sent Your Son Jesus to die for our sins. And You raised Him from the dead, so that all who repent and believe in Him have the hope of eternal life. So I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that You uplift the hearts of the people at this time. Those who hope in You will never be put to shame. It doesn't mean that we are free from pain in this fallen world. We face it, but we don't face it alone. We don't face godless. We don't face hopeless. We don't face helpless. We don't face Christless. We have Christ in us. We have help with us. We have hope in us. We have God with us. Help us to cling to You alone. Trust in You alone. Take precautionary steps and be careful the way we conduct ourselves at this time. But at the same time, help us to trust in You. Preach the gospel. Help the helpless. Guard our hearts. Guard our minds. Call upon You. Trust in You. Be ready to die anytime You call us home. Because all those who believe in the Lord Jesus will live even they die. Thank You for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the words of encouragement that You have inscribed in Your Holy Scripture. May we constantly look to the Word, look to Christ, and be encouraged. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ and face this crisis with courage and hope. And may we as Christians and as the people of God be a witness of courage and peace to the fallen world, to the people around us. May we be different. May we reflect your image. May we live as your children, as your people. Come, O Lord Jesus, soon, as we eagerly wait for the redemption of our bodies. Come and take us to your kingdom. Come and renew the entire universe. Give us the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. Come, O Lord Jesus. Come, O Lord Jesus. Come, O Lord Jesus. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.